Welcome to season 2 of The Gathering, honest conversations about life, faith, and everything in between. I'm really excited to start this new season with a conversation with Oyin, where we discuss confidence or the lack thereof, finding yourself and losing yourself, and integrating what sometimes feels like a very impractical faith with a very practical and worldly life. I know you'll thoroughly enjoy this episode, so keep listening and be inspired as we discuss. And don't forget to follow us on Instagram at The Gathering Lifestyle. Great. So, Oyin, it's great to have you here. Before we get started, we're talking about like intangible, the intangible. We're going to be talking about confidence, self-esteem. How did you find God? Did you grow up in church? Did you not grow up in church? What was that? What did that look like?
So I grew up in church. Typical Nigerian story, being forced to go to church by my mum every Sunday. So grew up in church, and then around the time of like sixth form specifically, because that's when I got baptised and that's when I was able to speak in tongues. Before that, I basically decided that I'm going to take my walk with Christ seriously. I went through a lot of things in school emotionally. And
like what?
I just had really low self-esteem. I really had no control over how I felt about myself. No control. So whatever I first thought about myself, that was Bible, basically. Like, that was it. I basically made a decision in bed one night. I remember it so specifically. And I was like, God, you know what? Like, fine. If this is what you want, if you want me, let's do this walk. So it's been from then till now, just this journey. A toil and tarry as well as freedom.
A toil and tarry as well. What do you mean by that?
Like, it's like, you know, to tarry is like to
wait, like struggle.
Struggle, yeah. And then to toil is like you're working, but sometimes it's difficult. And so I don't have those stories like some people do on Instagram, where it's just like, I fell in love with Christ and my life has changed. And I'm like, I didn't. I sometimes envy like the new born again Christians who like didn't know God and then woke up one day and God came to them in their room and then they found Christ. But my
and
walk
they
with
fell
God,
on the floor and everything
literally
was...
and their life just
changed.
So yeah, but my walk with God has been so intimate and freedom / toil and tarry, definitely.
So what was the toil and tarry factor?
I'm a very emotional person. I think I had like every low self-esteem that a girl could have. I had it.
So where did it come from, do you think?
Well, I went to counselling and it basically stemmed from like, well, I don't know if people say this, but no, I think it stemmed from like not growing up with my dad around all the time. And also like just always being the person that everyone sees me to be.
What kind of person did they see you to be?
So I'm loud and I'm funny and I'm confident and I'm just like, wow, Wayne, you're so daring. It's like, no, I just haven't thought about anything. So everyone thinks those things about you and everyone has their own like image that they create.
Yeah.
You know, that's fine. But when you can't be yourself vulnerable to anyone else, because you have to always be that person to everyone every day, that was my toil and tarry. And not admitting it to Christ, like the person that I'm meant to be.
Trying to like live up to that image that you feel like, and that's a really like big burden to carry when you feel like you have to live up to something that you know is maybe what you would like to be and maybe a part of you, but it's not
who you are.
It's not who you are, so it like kind of crushes you.
Yeah, 100%. Like, that's how I literally felt for so long, crushed.
So how did it change? So you went to church and you got baptised and you started speaking in tongues and everything was fine, or like how?
Boy. If that was my story, I'd have a church by now. You lot would be giving me your tithes. Joking. Not really. So 2016, I went on holiday with my friends. Came back and literally hated myself.
Why?
Was
there anything that happened on that holiday?
No, I just, you know, it was like...
Where did you go, by the way?
So I went to Atlanta, then went to Miami. It was lit. We're like women, you go on holiday and everything you do is like for the attention of guys. And I'm putting out there because everyone's like, no, like it's not, it is. So you go to Miami, and Miami's like, if you don't look 10 out of 10, you're not getting into the club, you're not getting into VIP. Like, I don't know how people live there, because I don't even fill in my eyebrows to go to work, literally. So we went through like this 10 day of like just glamorous lifestyle, whatever, and being praised by men. And being praised and being rewarded by that.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Being rewarded by how you look.
But rewarded, like getting stuff for free. Yeah.
So I come back home, back to reality. And like I said, like coming back and going back to church and going back to this normal lifestyle and actually realizing that I hate who I am. Like, I was at the lowest point in 2016 of my life, I think so. Like, of my life so far. Well, you know what? That's it, of my life, period. Mm-hmm. So, she won't mind me saying this, but my best friend, we were out and we had a massive argument and I basically made her cry. And I had made her cry. It wasn't, I'd made her cry. Wow. I went to bed, I got up and I went to church.
As if nothing had happened.
Was serving God, crying, praying, having praise and worship. People like, how are you? Oh, I'm good. God is good. And I was like, that is disgusting. Like, that is some people's idea of the church. Mm. That you suffer and then you go there on a Sunday and then you're like, God is good.
Fine.
And then you suffer again.
Or you do something bad and you go and you pretend everything's
good.
Perfect. Rewarded for your acts.
Exactly.
You never get rewarded or acknowledged for who you actually really are.
So, I was at the lowest point in my life then, and I had to go to God, and I was like, I don't think that you love me. Like, I know that you love the world, and I know that you love you. You're loving, and Jesus died because
you didn't feel that personally. But it just sounds like a concept,
exactly. And it was like, I couldn't understand how God could love me, and that was years of me going to church, and that's why it's so important to seek. Like, when in the scripture they say seek. Seek first kingdom of God. Seeking you shall find. Seeking isn't just, I'm looking aimlessly.
Yeah.
It's your whole being looking for something and doing everything you can to find this thing, this precious thing that you've lost. Mm-hmm. And that's what I was trying to find myself. Like,
you've lost yourself at that point?
No.
Or did you just like...
Because
people say, you know, I felt a void or I felt like I lost something. But sometimes that's actually in hindsight.
Yeah.
Did you... Yeah, like...
No, I didn't.
What triggered the search if you didn't feel like you'd lost yourself?
So I was just coasting, like...
Coasting.
So I wasn't... I didn't feel good or bad, ever, if that makes sense.
You were just enjoying life.
I was enjoying... Literally,
it's
I was...
It's not that deep. It you was, were just enjoying life.
Thank you. I wasn't... Nothing was that deep. I wasn't just enjoying life. Like, even friendships, everything. Friendships weren't growing. My relationship with God wasn't growing. My work wasn't growing. Because how can anything grow when you're not investing in anything? I wasn't investing in anything.
How can you grow when you're not investing in anything?
It's just like,
because you think you're actually like saving yourself by not diving into something. You're like, I'm going to keep my options open.
Exactly.
I'm gonna but actually that's to your detriment because you just get more void.
100%.
And I love that because people sometimes think when you're at your lowest or when you need God the most is like when you have nothing and you're broken and you're on the floor and you can't get up. But sometimes actually coasting is a sign that you need help.
Yeah. And like, and you know, and I always say this because I like now in 2018, I always say what I'm not good at, but I was never good at reflecting. And I always spoke about reflecting. And my sister does it a lot. You two are just two people that in my life that they reflect a lot. And I was like, no, I'm not doing that. Like, that means I have to sit down and like think about all the things I've done this year. And I've not done anything this year. And I don't want to think about what I haven't achieved. So then God is like, and I always say it, that in that time of my life, God must have been looking at me and was like, oi, you're moving mad. Like, you're moving mad. And you need to come back to me because I was nowhere. I was neither
lost
here
yourself.
Or there. I was just living my life.
It sounds like it though, because when you even said you had an argument with your friend and that you made her cry, knowing you, that is sounds very out of character. Like, I've known you for like 15 years or something, and like, you're probably the least confrontational person I know, and like, you're definitely not going to make anyone cry. So I think it just shows like how
the person that I just
that like, you'd become or like not become, you know, and how like it was just neither here nor there.
Yeah, and that was me. And then to come back and to then find who God is for myself. Like I said, I didn't think that God loved me. Mm. And even I'm talking about it now, and I just think back and I'm like, God, like, thank you just thank you for never giving up on me, because I wasn't even a place where I was rejecting God actively. It wasn't like I was actively being rebellious.
Being like, I hate God.
There was just nothing. And I just think that to go through and all this self-love, and I love that I read a tweet and I was like, self-love isn't pampering yourself, like going to the spa. Like, self-love is sitting with someone and telling them that actually, I don't like the way that I look. I hate the fact that my skin is dark. I hate the fact that I didn't get to have my dad when I was growing up. I hate the fact that my friends, like, that's hard to say out loud.
Those are hard things. Did you say that?
Yeah, because I had nothing. I was at a point where I was like, God put me in a room with someone to talk to.
Yes.
And that was it for me. Like, I had to use that space.
Yeah, because there was nothing left by that point. Like you said, you were coasting. Yeah.
And
okay,
so
interesting.
And I just think that, you know, all that self-care, self-love, and saying that you're low, saying that you have low self-esteem, it's so difficult. But what is it about yourself that you hate? Because the things I hate in 2016, genuinely, it's not the fact that I love them now. I literally don't think about it. Like, I can't explain it to you. I just don't think about those things. I don't think about that much, because I used to hate that my eyes were really small, that my nose is big, and obviously I hated being really dark for ages, but I never even admitted that. Like, none of my friends knew before them that I hated being dark. And I've known my friends since school, like, just like you, so it's more than just saying I've got low self-esteem. What is it about yourself that you hate? And say it out loud and vocalise it, because...
And how did you get to that stuff that you hated? Or you knew already, but you just never admitted it to yourself?
Yeah, and we live in a generation where you can so easily pretend that you don't care about stuff.
Yeah.
Like, we're like 10-10 for it. Like, we do it so well. Never addressing the problem.
Yes.
Being like, it's fine, I've got it. I don't care anymore. I used to be Mrs. I don't care. I care so much.
You care, yeah.
So
yeah,
much.
Yeah, yeah. And saying I don't care is not...
Why say you don't care when you care?
It's not going to make you not care. Like, it's just... saying something. And like, it's actually, that reminds me of something that I don't know if you've heard of Dr. Caroline Leaf. So she's a like psychologist.
Okay, yeah.
I may have used the wrong terminology, but she's a doctor, and but she's also Christian. And she was saying that actually, when you say something and the reality doesn't line up, that creates gaps in your scientifically in your brain.
Okay, yeah.
Which causes struggle. So when you say I don't care, I don't care, I don't care, you think you're talking yourself into not caring, you're just talking yourself into confusion and frustration.
Yeah, there we go.
And probably probably even lower self-esteem, because you know that you're not congruent.
Yeah.
And it's so interesting, because I was reading my journal from this time last year, and I was saying, like, Lord, I really want to be congruent. Mm-hmm. Like, that was a word that came up in maybe a devotional or something, and it just meant that the external and the internal actually align.
Listen,
and I think so many of us are living with creating the external. And it's not that the internal doesn't align, but we haven't, like you said, we haven't even gone to the place of self-reflection or development or self-care or whatever we call it, to bring the two into alignment
together.
Or to even ask, are they in alignment?
Yeah, exactly.
And I think that's what's creating, like, that's what creates crises in people's lives, because we spend so much time on the external, which is right. It's good to want to be good at your job. It's good to take care of your physical body. But what are you doing on the inside as well, you know? And I think that, like, it's something I also touch on in the first section of my book, which is, like, you're raised in this society that we live in to put so much emphasis on doing well that you don't really focus on being well. So you focus on, what grades do I have? How do I look? What does my face look like? What does my hair look like? What does my body look like? What job do I have? What uni did I go to? Blah, 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 blah. Which are all, you know, important and different things to different people, but they're not more important than how am I really and truly? What is causing me to have this argument with my friend and make her cry? What's causing me to not like myself when I see myself in the mirror? What's causing me to compare myself against to everyone around me, you know?
No, and in your book, I don't know which part about where it is, but it's a bit about, like, applause or, like, getting praise from people. And when I read that before your book launch, I was like, my mum was blown, because I was like, this is the season I'm in right now, actually. And I'll just kind of paraphrase it, but you basically speak about, you know, when people applaud you, and basically being built off people being proud of your work. So people be saying you're doing quite well, or you're doing really well, and, like, being happy with, like, how people take in your work or take in who you are. But it's like, Christ is everything. And so I've been trying to change my vocabulary. Oh, involve Christ in your life. No. Jesus Christ is my life, my whole life. And if the internal, like, I am an internal being. My emotions, which is what I used to be led by, is inside of me. And actually, your praise, it hits a glass wall when it comes to me, because it's like,
yes.
Because I want to be Christ. And actually before, it used to seep into me.
Yeah, and you internalise it.
I take everything.
Every single thing.
Oh my gosh, they said that I was really good that day when I was presenting. Yes, like I've accomplished something. And then tomorrow, my phone will be like, Oyin, like I didn't like the way that he spoke to me. And I'll be devastated because it's like, I need, like Christ is my life.
I can't
let it seep, the external seep into me. And like you said, like congruent. Is just to align, and that's every day. And I know we use these fancy words, and I really try not to, because I teach 11 to 13 years at my church. So I really try to talk about Christ like he's my friend. That's how we've been getting through the last few weeks.
Yes.
And it's like, okay, great. You have a relationship with Christ. What does that look like?
Yes.
Okay, you hate yourself, but you still know Christ. What does that look like? Going home and being like, God, like, why do I feel like that? Like, I feel really, really bad about this thing and I don't know what to do. Oh my gosh, God, I feel so lonely. I'm so painfully lonely. Like, I'm single and I'm going through a season, sorry, going for a bit on tangent, but I've been going through a season of loneliness. And loneliness before, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, used to be negative because I used to respond to my loneliness negatively. So like get attention from the wrong things. But loneliness is an emotion and God responds to our emotions and God responds to pain. So now I just say to God, like, fam, I'm lonely. I'm very lonely. And like, if you're not going to give me a boyfriend, if I'm going to be single, then you have to deal with my loneliness. Like, and that is dealing with your pain.
That's
being honest about it, accepting
it. Instead of, for example, you know, what some people do, which is jump into a relationship that is really damaging.
Or actually not admitting that you're lonely and just pretending that you're okay. And then
it shows up elsewhere.
It
shows up in how you perceive yourself or how you react to other people.
Yeah.
So you say that you push it down or you ignore it, but it just, you push it down and it just comes out somewhere else.
It starts coming up in weird places. And so for me, in my season of, I've been calling it season of loneliness because, like I said, from 2016 to now, I speak about my trials and things because I just, it's not you that goes to bed at night and has to go deal with my thoughts. It's only me, so I speak about it openly.
I'm happy that you do, because also by even just saying like a season of loneliness is almost like a swear word. No one wants to admit they are,
but
actually most people probably admitted it and have experienced it. So when you admit it, it minimises it. When we keep stuff in, it becomes like some big monster that swirls around your head and all you can see is your life through that particular thing that you're going through.
Exactly.
But then when you talk about it, it's like, this is a thing. And oh my gosh, it reminds me of this book that I'm reading, which is on my list of 2018 like favorites. I call them winter warmers on my blog, and it's called Boundaries for Your Soul. My friend Angela recommended it to me, and in that book these are also like clinical psychologists or psychotherapists who are also Christian, and they literally talk about that. They say that instead of rejecting your emotions, welcome them. Doesn't mean they have to stay forever, but when you acknowledge them, you allow this for there to be balance. Whereas when you resist them, there becomes friction.
Yes. And I think allow space for emotions. I used to be led by my emotions, which is why I had a lot of low self-esteem before. But I talk about my emotions with Jesus. I talk about them all the time. I'm an emotional person, and I'm not, and that used to put me down. I'm so emotional, I get upset all the time. But it's like, okay, God, like, you made me this way, you deal with it. That's how I literally see my walk with God. Yeah. Like, you deal it's with like, it, yeah?
It's like God is, you're not trying to deal with your loneliness better so you can impress God. You're trying to live with God in your loneliness.
In my loneliness.
Or in whatever
I like
you're
that.
Experiencing.
Yeah.
So, okay, so you have made this like major transition from like low self-esteem to being confident and living with God in all these difficult seasons. How did that actually happen? Like practically, if somebody, you know, we've talked about, you know, how people expect to go into church and everything is solved on Sunday, and then there's nothing else that we have to do. Or we put a lot of emphasis on church to solve our issues, whereas actually, like, that's not where the heart-to-heart stuff happens usually. Mm-hmm. So what other practical things could somebody do to push themselves further in this journey of like spiritual and personal growth?
Okay, so I have three.
Yeah.
And they're all physical because, yeah.
Yeah, let's get
that's just how they work for me. So pray with your friends. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to say get friends who pray, because that's dramatic. If your friends are Christian, then they pray.
Yes.
Praying in the conversation with God. So whether they speak in tongues, it doesn't matter. No one's saying anything like that. If you have friends who are Christians, pray with them. Me and my friends pray every Monday. Three of us, now four. And every Monday we get together, we speak about the week previously. We have a prayer point each, and we each pray for each other. And then we close, and then we reconvene every week. It's how I start my week. Mm-hmm. If I have plans, I go home to pray with my friends on a Monday. Yeah. It's important.
I love that you said that. If you have plans, you go home to pray with your friends on Monday. Because sometimes we expect our spirituality to just slot in the gaps.
Yeah.
But it's the the typical thing that people say, where you have a big vase and you've got stones and you've got sand. You put in the stones first because they're important. Mm. If not, you filled it up with sand and then you can't get the stones in. Whereas if you put the stones in, you can put the sand and it will fill into the holes. And
that's really good.
I feel like if you want something, you have to prioritize it.
100%.
You know, and I think sometimes we can really sideline our faith. And that's not to make people feel bad for not going to church, for example, but there are some things that you know that are immovable. Yeah. So, for example, in December, me and a couple of friends, we always have an annual fellowship. And this year, it's been really hard to schedule because of everyone. Mm-hmm. The group is bigger. We all have lots of different pressures. And I was like, nope, we are having this thing. This is going to be the fourth year in a row. It's going to happen. We have to make this happen. And people had loads of clashes that day. But when I walked into the room that day, people that I didn't think were going to be there were there. People that had other struggles, not struggles, but other commitments were there. And I think we acknowledged in that time that we have to make time for this.
This is important. It's a priority.
It's a priority beyond belief.
100%.
And I think that's something that we... it's people need to remember, and we emphasize on this podcast, because you're not going to get the results you want unless you commit to it.
Even when you say that to me now, it's even just giving me that last oomph for the end of the year. I like that analogy about the stones and sand. I've never heard of it before, but that's, and me and my friends, we said it last week, that 2 months ago we said that we are not going to not pray from 2 months ago to the end of the year. Mm-hmm. That commitment, number one, it's happened, and number two, the things that God has done during this prayer, because he's seen that commitment, would not have happened. I don't know God, but I don't think that we would have allowed God to have the capacity to move in our life if we were just been like, can't do Monday, let's do Wednesday, at 12 o'clock quickly at 9 for 15 minutes. You need to create space for God to move.
Yes.
And sometimes that space is scheduling a time.
And sometimes
don't
that space
time.
Takes sacrifice.
Yes.
But sacrifice 100%. Is always rewarded. Not unnecessary sacrifice.
Of course,
But good things take sacrifice. Yeah. It's I just see it as, if I'm being really practical, if you want to be healthier, you need to stop eating junk food.
Foods.
If you want to get fit, you need to exercise. If you want to pass exams or get certain knowledge, you have to invest in the time to study.
Exactly.
It's all... We say that, if Christianity's not practical, but maybe because we don't treat it like that sometimes.
100%.
We just treat it as this floppy thing that can come in and out.
Out of our life.
But if you actually create space, it doesn't have to be rituals, but you create space. And there is something about having... regular times, not because of the ritual and tick boxing, but because we need structure in our lives.
Human beings need routine.
That's where you can schedule spaces for God to be spontaneous.
Yeah,
you can have spontaneity and scheduling all together.
Yeah.
So okay. So
really
finding
good.
A time to praying with your friends, and you said praying with your friends, not finding friends to pray with.
Yes, just because the people that I'm praying with are the if I said their names, you'd be like, what? They pray. And because people can say that about me.
Yeah.
Don't
think you need to find some priest who's locked
God
up in the
is
bottom.
In, God, yeah. Do you know who God is? God will use you. If God could use a donkey. You know, I only read that story this year. Let me tell you, that one where the donkey
spoke,
was talking.
Yeah.
What?
I mean, I think it's quite radical.
I was sorry.
Maybe we'll put it in the notes for the show. But
there
was a donkey.
That was talking English. I was like, huh? So anyway, so when people say that, but I'm not saying that, like you said, don't look for all these things. It's great, you're Stephen Furtick, you have all your online pastors, whatever. Those are great, but
your online pastors are lovely, but they're not going to be people that are going to walk the road with you. As much as I love all these churches and all the church online, the Transformation Churches, Life Church, Hillsong, the people that I can see blood and and skin and flesh, blood and flesh, in person has been more instrumental
Definitely.
In my growth than any podcast, video. So even as you listen to this podcast, that's great. But my question to you is, if you're struggling with a community, are you acknowledging them?
Yeah.
Are you pursuing them? Are you telling them what you want? Because all this content, and that's the thing, that like, I'm a writer, I have blogs, I have all these things, they're great and they will help you, but you need to find human beings because that's what we're made for.
Exactly. So yeah, so pray with your friends, like, and just to wrap that bit up, if you, like, there's people around you that want to know God just as much as you do in their walk. I heard something, it was like, you're never too mature in your faith to remember who God is. Like, you're never, pray with your friends. Secondly, serve in church. And every time I say that, I know it's like, oh, church, serving. But serve in church. Serve, like, you need to be humbled. Like, this generation, serving is mad. Like I said to Bula before, I've been called a little girl. Someone has shouted at me while I was teaching the kids that I'm a leader. So I'm the leader at church for my age group. And some older people are not happy that 5'1", 26-year-old is their whatever, what's it called? Their surpassor, whatever. They're senior. So, but come on, like, that to me has been my biggest journey. And I now love serving because I've been through the process of humility and
so
stuff.
So what is the value of serving? Okay, so it helps you in your personal growth, your spiritual journey.
You know what helps you in a spiritual journey? Knowing that I can't do something on Saturday night because I have to wake up early to go to church at 7 o'clock in the morning. It's about discipline. And like when you read the Bible, discipline.
And training.
Oh my gosh, like cannot miss. Like I cannot not be at church.
Yeah, it's a sacrifice.
Because I've gone out the night before.
It's a sacrifice, and it's not a sacrifice of like, I'm struggling, like I have to sacrifice my whole life, although, you know, it's different for everybody. Yeah. But there is a trade-off, and that's the thing, I think why people sometimes, there's no formula, so nothing is linear, there's always exceptions, but why maybe people get frustrated with, you know, I've claimed the promises of God, but have, in those stories, have you clipped off the promise of the end and ignored the whole struggle,
journey.
Sacrifice, the journey, the commitment, the training, the not being on the mountaintop, because every single person has that, everything comes with a cost, and I think, like, the language of humility in our society is like, you need to look down on yourself and put people above you in a way that hurts you. And I don't think it's that. I think humility is about understanding that you are great and you have value. I believe that fully from God, that, you know, I'm great and I have value, but I am also above and beyond that. I'm cognizant of the fact that I'm cognizant of the bigger picture.
Yes.
That, yeah, I have. I don't think humility is about thinking of yourself less than.
But I think you only get that when you serve.
Yeah.
Because when you do your walk by yourself, at the end of the day, your walk of Christ is a selfish thing. It's about you. It's about building. It's about growing. And when I serve in church and I wake up at 7 o'clock in the morning and my mum is still in bed and I'm getting on the bus because my sister's not gone to church yet, no one cares that I'm the first one to pick up the key, unlock the room, set up the chairs. That is the bigger picture, that at the end of the day, a young person, or whatever you're doing in church, I don't want you serving as one thing, but I teach, that a child who might forget has a seed planted in them. Do you think they care that I woke up at 7 o'clock? In fact, do you think God cares that I woke up at 7 o'clock? Ultimately, no. He loves me, but he's like, that is the least of your service to me.
Least of... Once all is said and done, was it that much of a sacrifice?
Thank you.
It always looks like it up front.
Yeah.
Because we want everything on our own terms. But on the other side, like, does it really matter?
And it goes back to what you said in your book.
Did it matter?
No one gives you praise when you serve at church. Yeah. And that's what goes back to your book. And I think when people want to find out who they are, when the people want to find out their walk of Christ, do something in church. Watch no one praise you for it. Do something in the world. Oh my gosh, Biola, your book's incredible. At church, when you're doing something and you've been toiling, sweating, tarrying, someone's like, "Oh yeah, good, you did that thing," and they keep on moving.
Else you need to do, or like,
That is the work. That's think about even the disciples. Like, who was applauding them?
Who looked at them? Or who was laughing at them? You know, at the end of the day, like, Jesus died in people's eyes.
Literally,
like, they're like, that's the end of it, but you continue because the journey, your journey is important, but it's also the beauty of your journey is that it's in the context of the world.
The whole thing.
And that is it. And if you lose sight of it, that is that becomes a struggle. And I think that's a hugely, hugely significant thing that I think we're missing. So we are always looking for what's in it for me, what's in it for me. But the question is, what can I give? Because it's a cycle.
Yeah, 100%.
And it all relates to each other. Okay, so you said serving in church, finding friends that pray, and you said you've got a third one.
And find a fellowship, find a connect group. And I'll keep this one quick. I have a fellowship every Friday. It's Litty McVitie. But I wanted to get a midweek service, and I just put on my Instagram, and I'm not an influencer. I put my Instagram, who knows a midweek service. I got about 7 replies, 7 different churches. I asked for a specific time, and I said in London, Central. I was very specific, and I got that. And that wasn't me looking high and low. I just put that on there and I got a response. So if you're listening and you don't have a midweek service or a fellowship or anything, ask people, like, put it on your Instagram, put it on your Snapchat, put up tweet about it. One person will get back to you. Go to that one church. If you don't like it,
move on.
But yeah, plug in physically. Because
you have to engage. Yeah. Things aren't gonna come to you always.
So I think those are the things, the three things that have helped me live this life are just those three, like, to be plugged in physically, because life is, we're all so busy now, like, when did we get so busy?
Is that a song that I should know?
No.
when did we get so busy? Oh my gosh.
Literally.
I love that, and I think that's great. I suppose, like, we've been super practical, and I guess on the other side, in terms of, like, going back to your self-esteem and confidence thing, where was the Holy Spirit in that? Because, like, we're talking about tangible and intangible stuff. Like, or maybe not even just in that situation, but what is the Holy Spirit? What does that mean?
Yeah.
And they don't harm people if we don't act on it. So why does this transformation of mindset or transformation of behavior, which I guess comes from the spirit and mindset, why does it matter?
Okay. So I'm still learning, so I'm not saying this, and I'm not a pastor, and I guess, like, I always try to not use Christianese words, but the same thought that could say to me, oh my gosh, like, I hate Bella, like, she's so annoying, I didn't tell you, you're not her. The same thought that says to me, Oyin, like, you're so ugly and you're worthless. Those to me are the same thing. They're not different thought processes to me.
Yeah, because when you go through the process of, like, refining and correcting your thoughts, it's not just about, it's the same, that comes from the same place, basically. So when you're able to correct it in one area, it will have an impact.
And obviously,
that's really powerful.
There are some things that are, you know, we also have the analogy when you're pouring water into a pot, or things have to spill out. There are heavy rocks in me now. I'm not saying that I'm where I want to be.
Yeah.
But those thoughts all are, if I think negatively about someone off the back, I need to check myself because, and it might be selfish reasons. It might be because I'm not trying to have lustful thoughts. I'm not trying to be envious. I'm not trying to go back into that place where I hated myself. And since 2016, by the grace of God, I haven't gone back to that dark place. That's because I acknowledge that every negative thought, and my life starts with a thought, mate. Every bad thing I do is because of a thought I had, and then it manifested somehow 3 weeks later.
Yeah, even if the thought isn't, I'm gonna go and be evil, it could be a thought of, like, I'm sick and tired of this, or, you know, something unrelated.
And just let it run. So, going back to it quickly, the Holy Spirit takes those thoughts. Think about someone, you have a thought, they catch it. And it's like, okay, Wayne, what are we going to do with this thought?
Yes.
All right, what are we going to do with it? You want to run with it? Holy Spirit will let it go, you know. God is not here just to be following you around. No, like, he will let it. If you don't want to tackle that with your word and with your good friend, you'll live with it. So, and I've done that and I do that. So it's not like, I've done that and I do that. I let thoughts run sometimes, and I know that I shouldn't. And we spoke about the Chesed Fellowship. It's like, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. How can you grieve oxygen or air? Grieving is a human emotion. When you grieve the Holy Spirit, that's when you're moving mad.
What does that mean?
So, to me, I see it as my negative thought and the Holy Spirit can't sit within me. Holy Spirit said, Holy Spirit said to me, you're moving mad, when I'm gone, I'm dipping out. Like, that's literally how I see it. So, you know when people go through seasons, they feel God, they don't feel God. Listen, God is still there, but you've grieved the Holy Spirit in some kind of way. And this work, and I don't want to get too deep into it.
About keeping into alignment, so, like, just exactly. To probably, like, take it up a level. Like, it's like, so, this probably is something that maybe people will get. It's like you say, you allow different energy from different people within your space. There's also energies within you. Let's use energy as a word for spirit and thought.
Yeah.
So when you're entertaining negative energy and like positive energy, for example, being in this case the Holy Spirit, those two things cannot live together. Yeah. And actually, just as I'm talking, it reminds me of in the Bible where it says like, a house divided against itself can't stand, i.e., and it says loads of other things. How can two walk together if they don't agree? Mm-hmm. All that stuff is basically two opposing forces cannot live together. So just
in one intimate space.
Exactly. So the negative energy and the positive, they cannot live within you. So there's a fight. So unless you're allowing the positive energy, unless you're allowing the Holy Spirit to transform your life, if you're always making excuses, or not even excuses, but if you're saying, well, you know what, this negative thing is, it's harmless, you'll give, it's a balance.
Exactly,
you're giving, you're feeding one or the other, basically.
Yeah. And like, I'm not on any level, but I know, like you said, exactly, if you allow it, and when you allow things to happen in your life, you grieve the Holy Spirit, you grieve the fruits of the Spirit. Everyone could think about joy, everyone could think about love, everyone could think about self-control. When you're not acting in those things, it is very simple. And
it's very simple.
Yeah, like it is very simple. And I know, you know, this isn't, and I'm not this pastor or anything. I mean, I could be. But for me in my personal life, in order for me to keep my sanity, I walk with the Holy Spirit. And that's not always dramatic. And like I said, I'm not floating. I'm not praying in tongues 24/7. But sometimes I am praying in tongues on the train because I get elbowed in the forehead regularly because I'm 5'1", regularly. Do you know what I mean? To get elbowed regularly in the forehead during rush hour. Sometimes I pray in tongues just to be like, am I going to shout at someone on the train?
Yeah.
Publicly? No. Like, Holy Spirit, what do I do?
Yeah, this is helping me so much.
So yeah, Holy Spirit's a real person. Don't find out who the Holy Spirit is for yourself. It looks so different to everyone. I'm sick and tired of Christians come in looking like the same. We're not the same. Me and Biola aren't the same. Me and whoever's listening aren't the same. Find out for yourself.
Yeah, go on that
My
journey.
Convictions aren't your convictions.
Yeah, and that's where people get frustrated because it's easier to take what somebody else has walked and put it on yourself.
Yeah.
But the point is, it doesn't fit because we're unique. So we take people's stories, but they should like propel us to figuring out our own.
Yeah.
And like, it's like at something we talked about at the book launch, which is when we talked about like, work out your salvation with fear and trembling.
Yeah.
It's not about be scared of God and tremble before, but basically, like, fear and trembling to me, I hear it as basically stay woke.
Yeah.
Work out your own salvation, woke, because everyone's journey is different.
Yeah.
But you have to work out your own.
Yeah.
You can use other people's stories as a part of that conversation and part of that journey of working out your own salvation, but ultimately it's your own.
Yeah.
And you need to treat it with the just care as it needs to be treated.
To yourself. That's it.
Thank you so much, Oyen. Before we go, as usual, I always ask people, if there was one thing that you could tell your younger self, what would it be?
Bare things. Oh my gosh. Okay, wait. What would I tell 15-year-old Oyen? Okay, this I'll say to her. Babe, like, school is not your life. Oh my gosh, why was school so dramatic?
That was quite dramatic.
I would tell her that everything's gonna be okay.
Everything's gonna be okay. I love
that's
that.
What I tell her.
Thank you so much, William. This has been like super eye-opening and just like
for
quite challenging
well.
For me personally as well. So yeah, it's been great to chat.
Thanks.